Good morning, everyone. Today's parak of Rambam is the fifth parak of Hilchos Tava Torah. In the fifth parak, the Rambam will detail the halachos of Kavod HaRav and Mora HaRav, the obligations to both honor and revere one's Rebbe. Halacha Aleph. Kishem she'adam mitzuba b'chvod abe v'yiraso, kach hu chai b'chvod rabo v'yiraso yeser me'aviv. Just as one is obligated to honor and revere his father, one is similarly obligated, and in fact more so obligated, to honor and revere his Rebbe. Because one's father has brought him into this world, he's given him life in this ephemeral world. But his Rebbe, who's taught him Torah, who's taught him wisdom, has brought him and has given him eternal life. He's brought him into the world to come. Therefore, as a consequence of this, if one finds the lost object of his father and the lost object of his Rebbe, if you only have the ability to save one of them, or which one gets precedence, his Rebbe's comes before his father's. If he sees his Rebbe and his father both carrying some heavy burden, first he assists his Rebbe in taking off his burden, and then afterwards he helps his father. If his father and his Rebbe have been taken captive, first he redeems his Rebbe, again, same type of concept, and then only afterwards, if he has the ability, he redeems his father. Now, the Rambam adds an important caveat. If his father is a Talmud Chacham as well, Podes Aviv Tchila. So then, the combination of those two, the fact that his father is his father, as well as a Talmud Chacham, that takes precedence over his Rebbe, and therefore one would redeem his father first. And similarly, if his father is a Talmud Chacham, though not necessarily the equal of his Rebbe, he might be a lower level Talmud Chacham than his Rebbe, nonetheless, the student slash son would first return the object of his father, and then only afterwards, only after returning the father's object does he return the Rebbe's object. Now, how great is this kavod, which one must have for his Rebbe? The honor and the reverence due to one's Rebbe is unparalleled. There's no honor or reverence which is greater than this. In fact, Chazal said in Avos, the same degree of reverence you have for your Rebbe should be the same degree of reverence as you have for Hashem himself. Therefore, Chazal said that anybody who argues on his Rebbe, we'll see exactly what that means in the next halacha, it's as if he's argued on Hashem. Whenever the pasuk is going to be quoted now, the Rambam is talking about a context where Moshe and Aaron were the ones who were complained against, who were fought with, and yet, nonetheless, the pasuk defines it as if the people in the Midbar, were arguing on Hashem himself. And similarly, anybody who starts a fight with his Rebbe, it's as if he started a fight with Hashem himself. And similarly, anybody who complains about his Rebbe, it's as if he's complained against Hashem. And similarly, anybody who questions the motives, the actions of his Rebbe, it's as if he's done so about Hashem, Shneimar, Vayedaber Ha'am, Be'elokim, U'Moshe. Halacha Beis. The Rambam will now detail exactly what counts as Cholik al Rabo. Izel Cholik al Rabo. Zeh shekovei lo midrash biyoshi v'doresh u'malameh shelo bershus Rabo, v'Rabo kayim, v'Aval pi sh'Rabo menina acheres. It's not as we might have thought, though we'll see that this too is prohibited, to argue on one's Rebbe in a straightforward fashion. His Rebbe says something, you contradict it. But rather, this is somebody who sets up camp. He establishes a base measure for himself, and he's publicly teaching, he's giving forth his own Torah without having taken permission from his Rebbe to do so. And his Rebbe is still alive. And this is true even if his Rebbe is far away. He's in a different country. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to do this. And it's forbidden for a person to ever issue halachic rulings. We'll see in the next halacha there's slight exceptions, which don't quite count as sitting and being mora halacha, but one is forbidden to ever issue a halachic ruling in front of his Rebbe. In fact, if somebody does, he renders a halachic decision, and in the presence of his Rebbe, he deserves to be killed. Halacha Gimel. If there's a distance of 12 mil between a person and his Rebbe, 12 mil is approximately 12 kilometers, 12 half miles, somewhere in between that range. The shalom adam dvar halacha, and somebody asks him a question when there's this distance between this individual and his Rebbe. So then in that circumstance, you're allowed to respond. And to stop somebody from sinning directly, even in the presence of your Rebbe, it's permitted for you to issue the ruling. Ketzad. Rambam is going to illustrate. Kigon shirah adam osa davar ha'asr, mepnei shalo yadav yisro, mepnei risho. For example, if you see somebody about to sin, either because he doesn't know it's a sin or because he's just a bad person, you're able to pull him away from it and say, no, don't do this. This is forbidden. But even in the presence of your Rebbe, even though your Rebbe never gave you permission to do so. Because in any circumstance, will lead to the desecration of God's name, as it would if this person were to sin. So then you don't have to give honor to your Rebbe. Now, the Rambam is going to clarify. When he had said that it's permitted to respond to a questioner, as long as there's a certain distance between the person and the Rebbe, so then, when is that true? That's when something happens to occur. Somebody has a question, your Rebbe's far away, and he needs an answer, so then you're allowed to respond. But to establish yourself, to sit yourself down, to render halachic decisions, and to respond to any questioners who has a halachic question, even if you're on one end of the earth and your Rebbe's on the opposite end, it's forbidden for you to issue halachic rulings until your Rebbe dies. Again, unless your Rebbe has given you permission to do so. Now, very importantly, just because your Rebbe has died, below kol misha meis rabo, not everybody whose Rebbe has passed away, mutter lo leishiv l'horos b'torah, has the permission to go ahead and issue halachic rulings. Ella imkein hayatam shegiel ora. It's only permitted if you are somebody who has reached the stage of being a true halachic decisor. Halacha dalet. V'chol talmid shelo higiel ora. Any talmid who has not yet reached the stage of higiel ora, where he's attained the status where he's allowed to render halachic decisions, and means many, many things. It means you have, first and foremost, a deep sense of your Shemayim and an appreciation of the halachic process. You understand its history and its workings. You have a sensitivity to the nuances of halacha. And, of course, the point which people sometimes focus on, but it is not the only point, as we just mentioned, but it's a critical factor. You have to have an enormous amount of Torah knowledge. You can't be somebody who is somewhat learned, who's familiar, even an expert in one area, but is lacking knowledge in many other areas. So any Talmud who does not have all these necessary requirements, and nonetheless, umora, and he still issues halachic rulings, as unfortunately we see oftentimes in our own day, hareiz that rasha shote v'gas ruach, such an individual is evil, he is an idiot, and he is arrogant. V'alav ne'amar ki rabim chalalam hipila, and about such an individual, it's said that he has killed many corpses. V'chein chacham shegiel l'hora. Now on the flip side, a chacham who has reached this point, he has attained the requisite requirements to properly render halachic decisions. V'eino mora, and nonetheless he doesn't do so. Hareiz emonea Torah, he's withheld Torah from Klal Yisrael, v'nosi mechshol sefnei evrim, and he's left stumbling blocks before those who are, in a sense, blind. They are blind to the correct halacha. V'alav nemar, and about him, the pasuk says, about sumim kol harugeha. And continuing in that very same pasuk, that it's shocking how many people he has killed. Now, the Rambam turns back to the first category, those that are not fit to rule and yet do render halacha decisions. Elu hatamidim haktanim shelo hirbu Torah kiroi, v'heim evakshim lesgad v'fnei amei oretz uvein anshe ira, v'koftzin v'yoshin v'rosh ledino l'horos b'yisrael. These small, petty students who have not properly learned enough Torah, and they desire just to become great in the eyes of those who are more ignorant than even they are, and those that they live amongst, and they jump to the front in order to render halakhic rulings in Klal Yisrael. Hey, ma'amarim ha'machlokas, they increase the arguments amongst Klal Yisrael. Hey, ma'amachrivim ha'solam, and they destroy the world. Ma'amachablim ne'ira shel Torah, and they extinguish the light of Torah. Ma'amachablim kerem Hashem tzavakos, and they destroy the vineyard of God. Aleim amar shlomo v'chmasam. The reference here now is to this pasuk, as Shlomo said in Shir HaShirim, Echzu lanu shualim shualim ketanim mechablim mekram. These small little foxes are scurrying around, destroying the vineyard of God. Halacha hey, returning back now to the kavod due to one's Rebbe. V'atzalo l'tamid l'kros l'rabo b'shmo v'apilu shlo b'fanav. It's forbidden for a student to refer to his Rebbe by name, even when his Rebbe is not present. V'ushia shem beli shekola shemeya yida shu ploni. And that's when it's a specific name, uncommon name, a name which everyone will know he's referring to his Rebbe, as opposed to, let's say, Avram or Yitzhak or the like. Lo yaskir shmo b'fanav, and he shouldn't even mention his Rebbe's name in the presence of his Rebbe. V'afilu l'kros l'acher b'shmam k'shem rabo, k'derech sh'osa b'shevav. That he, just as by his father, he's not supposed to mention his father or his Rebbe's name in their presence, even if he's not referring to them. For example, your Rebbe's name is Moshe, and you have a friend whose name is Moshe, and in your Rebbe's presence you want to refer to your friend Moshe, you shouldn't refer to him by that name, because it is considered inappropriate. How should one refer to one's Rebbe then? Eliyashana Shmam Afilu Acher Mosam. Rather, you should change your Rebbe's name. Don't refer to him as his actual name. Refer to him in some other fashion, even after his Rebbe has passed away. And also, when you're greeting your Rebbe, you shouldn't respond to him or greet him in the same exact way that you would to a regular friend. Rather, you should slightly bow before him. You should lean over a little. And you should say in great reverence and with great respect, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. V'im nasan l'rabo shalom, and if his Rebbe first gives him a greeting, yachshir lo shalom alecha Rebbe Mori. You should respond back again with the same reverence, same kavod, and say his title, say my Rebbe, my teacher, my master. Halacha Vav. V'chein lo yachutz tefilo v'pnei rabo. Also, you shouldn't take off your tefillin in the presence of your Rebbe. It's considered disrespectful. V'lo yasev ela yoshev l'pnei hamelech. And also, you shouldn't recline, you shouldn't lean in his presence, as we do like at a Seder, Haseiba. Rather, you should sit as if you're sitting before the king. V'lo yispalo lo l'pnei rabo, v'lo l'achar rabo, v'lo b'tzadrav. And when you're davening, you shouldn't daven directly in front of, directly behind, or directly on the side of your Rebbe. And also when you're walking, it goes without saying that you shouldn't walk in lockstep with him, that is, if you were equals, but rather you should trail behind him a little bit, as we'll see. You shouldn't be diagonally a little bit behind your Rebbe when you're walking with him or when you're davening near him, and then you can daven. You shouldn't go into the bathhouse with the Rebbe. You shouldn't sit in your Rebbe's seat. And you shouldn't weigh his words in his presence and say, I hear what you're saying about this, but I don't know, maybe you could say this. That's considered disrespectful. You certainly shouldn't contradict his words. And you shouldn't sit in his presence until he tells you to sit. And if you are sitting in front of him, you shouldn't get up until he tells you to stand up. You shouldn't get up. Or until you've asked permission to stand up, and then you can stand up. And when you leave the presence of your Rebbe, you shouldn't turn around and show him your back. Near to lachor v'panav k'neged panav. Rather, what should you do? You should slowly back away with your face still facing his face. Halacha zayin. V'chayv lamud b'nei rabo. You have an obligation to stand before your Rebbe. Mishir yirenu mirachok milo einav. Ashi iskas menu v'lo yirelo komaso v'achar kach yeshiv. You have an obligation to stand in the presence of your Rebbe to the point where as soon as you see him in the distance, you have to stand up. And that's true until he leaves your sight, until you can't even make out his silhouette. Then finally, you're allowed to sit again. A person is obligated to visit, to acquaint himself with his Rebbe on the holidays. A person is not supposed to give kavod to a student of his Rebbe in the presence of his Rebbe, unless it's the way of his Rebbe to give this student kavod. And any type of service that a servant would do for his master, Talmud osel rabo, student should do for his Rebbe. So, however, if it's in a place where people don't recognize you, they don't know who you are, and you're not wearing your tefillin, and you're afraid that people will actually think that you really are an Eved, you really are a servant, then so then you don't have to do specific work. You wouldn't, for example, put on his shoes or take off his shoes. That's considered too much like a servant, and people will actually come to think you're a servant, and you have the right not to in that case. Now, should the Rebbe let his student do these types of service for him? Yes. And any Rebbe who doesn't allow his student to do these types of service for him, you've withheld from him kindness, and you haven't allowed him to develop the proper sense of Yerushalayim, of awe, which is necessary to have in life for Torah and for its teachers, because you're saying, no, you don't have to serve me, and you've therefore decreased his ability to have Yerushalayim. And Rachman al-Tlan, if any student treats his Rebbe's kavod lightly, he doesn't properly give him the dignity that he deserves, so then he causes Hashem's presence to leave Klal Yisrael. Halacha Tes. Ra Rabbo over al-Divrei Torah. If somebody unfortunately sees the Rebbe making a mistake in terms of halacha, he's doing something wrong, Omer lo, l'matenu Rabbeinu kach v'kach. So then you say gently, you don't say, hey, what are you doing, you're wrong. Instead you say, Rebbe, I think you've taught us otherwise. And any time when you're mentioning something in the presence of your Rebbe, Omer lo, kach l'matzeinu Rabbeinu. So then you say, Rebbe, this is what you've taught us. And don't say something which you haven't heard from your Rebbe, but you've heard from somebody else, until you say the name of that other person who you've heard it in front of, so that way people won't mistakenly attribute it to your Rebbe, because who are you most quoting? Generally your Rebbe. So you should clarify who it is that you're really quoting. And in the case, Rachman al Tzlam, when somebody's Rebbe passes away, go... So a person has to tear all of his clothing. He tears Korea, all of his clothing, to the point where his heart has been revealed. Means that he's not allowed to ever restitch it. Now, everything that's been said thus far, a very, very important qualification. Now, all these previous halachos, when is this said? The rabbo muvak, with regards to one's designated set Rebbe. Shalom and menu rov chachmaso, who you've learned most of your wisdom from. But if he's a Rebbe who's taught you Torah, as we'll see in a moment, but he hasn't taught you most of your knowledge, so then you're considered a student who's on some degree a contemporary, and you don't have the same degree of obligation with regards to all these previous matters. You still do have an obligation to stand before him, and you also tear Kriya, you also rip your clothing, you rend your garment in the same way that you would have for any relative who you mourn over. Now, who counts as Rebbe with regards to this, who's not a Rebbe Mavuk? Anybody who's taught you even one small halacha. Nonetheless, he counts as a Rebbe then, and you have an obligation to stand before him and to tear Kriya. Halacha Yud. V'chol tam chacham shetiyosu mechuvanos. Einu medaber b'fnei misha hu gadol menu b'chachma. Afal pi shel lo lamad menu klon. Now, even if somebody hasn't taught you Torah, but he's a bigger Talmud Chacham than you. So if you're a true Talmud Chacham, somebody who has the proper characteristics, somebody who's trained himself in the ways of the righteous, so then you shouldn't speak before somebody who's greater than you in wisdom anyhow, even if he's technically not your Rebbe. Halacha Yud Aleph. Harav HaMubak Shiratza Limchol HaKapoto. Now, if a Rebbe Mubak wants to waive his dignity with regards to any of these matters, B'chol Dvar Ma'ilu, in all these different areas, O Be'echad Mehen, or in regards to a particular one, B'chol Talmidav, either to all the students, O Le'echad Mehen, or to a specific one, Harshas Biyado, he does have the ability to do so. Now, I would note that we saw earlier in the Rambam, though, that the Rebbe should be careful as to when he should waive this or not, because by doing so, while he might think that it's necessary in order to become closer with his Talmidim, nonetheless, he should also recognize that he might be taking away something at the same time. There's a potential cost that they might lose out on some of the Yir Shemayim that they would gaining from having this kavod for the Rebbe. Now, even though the Rebbe has been mochel with regards to an area or all these areas to one or all of his Talmidim, nonetheless, even at the moment where he's being mochel, the Talmud still has to give him a special degree of respect, because after all, he is your Rebbe, and from your side, you still owe him respect. Halacha Yud Beis. Kishem shen Talmidim chayvim b'chavot harav, just as the Talmidim are obligated to honor their Rebbe, kach harav tzarech l'chavias Talmidav l'karvan. The Rebbe too must respect and give honor to his students and to bring them close. Kach amr chamin eshmo chazal ta'an yichavot Talmidecha chavib alecha kishelcha. The honor of your students should be as dear to you as your own honor. A person is obligated to be very careful with regards to his Talmidim and their honor, and he should love them because, after all, they are the sons. Remember, we saw beforehand that they're viewed as the sons, the children of the teacher, and they are the sons who benefit him both in this world as well as in the world to come. Halacha Yud Gimel. HaTalmidim Mosivim Chachmas HaRav Marchiv En Libo. Talmidim increased the wisdom of the teacher, and they brought in his understanding, his heart. Amru Chachamim Harbei Chachma Lemanti Mirabosai V'Yoser Mechaverai U'mitalmidai Yoser Mikulam. Now there's different Girsas here, but I said the one that aligns with, or we're most familiar with, and the Girsas that we have in the Gemara. So I've learned much wisdom from my teachers, and even more for my contemporaries, but most of all for my students. Ukashem she'et katan malik hatzakadol, and just as a small twig, a small piece of wood, is able to light a larger one, kach tamachach mechadin arav, so too a weak student, a small student, is still able to sharpen the Rebbe, ad shiyot yimenu b'she'elosav chachma mefora, that through his questions, the Rebbe's chachma is a beautiful, brilliant, grand wisdom, and therefore the Rebbe, just as the students have to respect him, the Rebbe must respect his students because they benefit him too. It's not just him. It's not a one-way street where he's helping them, bringing them into the world to come. They too are benefiting the Rav, as the Rambam said, in this world as well as the next. Now, though we might be familiar with Kavod HaRav in a different sense, most of the time our Rebbeim are mochel on so much that is said here, the principle of the matter, that we should be giving, fundamentally, ideally, we should be giving this degree of Kavod to our Rebbeim. They just happen to waive it. Should color our perspective. When we speak to our Rebbeim, when we think about our Rebbeim, how we act before our Rebbeim, we should realize how brilliant of a gift they've given us by teaching us Torah, how they are the ones who bring us into the world to come.